Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about one of the most recognizable traditions in the military, the change of command ceremony. If you've ever attended one, you know it's full of tradition, symbolism, and precise military protocol, as well as standing around for a very long time.
Absolutely. It's one of those events where you've seen the simple formation of it all. It seems very simplistic at first glance. A formation of soldiers, and someone hands a flag to someone else, right? But behind that moment is centuries of military history and a very deliberate process of leadership transition.
And, you know, going into a little bit of my personal side, I run every single change of command ceremony for, you know, being a human resources officer and a public affairs officer. I never get away from them.
No, emceeing an event, right?
No. And today we're going to break down how those ceremonies work, why they exist, and how they differ from another ceremony many soldiers are familiar with, known as the change of responsibility ceremony, usually involving the command sergeant major. And I can tell you, soldiers get confused because they sound very similar.
They are very similar. Yeah. And we'll also talk a little bit about the Camp Ripley Training Center here in Minnesota, which has seen decades of these ceremonies since the installation's establishment in the early 1930s.
All right. So looking over the history of the change of command ceremony, to understand the modern ceremony, you have to go back hundreds of years. The change of command tradition originates in the early professional armies of Europe.
Right. Yep. So those early armies, unit colors or flags represented the authority of the commander and the identity of the unit itself, coming from a village or a region or under the command of a nobility, things like that. These soldiers literally rallied around the flag in battle.
Yeah, during the heat of battle, if the flag fell, it could cause confusion, or most likely panic. That meant whoever controlled the colors symbolically controlled the unit.
Yeah, certainly. And then over time, armies developed a formal ceremony to transfer that authority. Passing the colors from one leader to another became a visible way of showing soldiers that leadership had changed, but the unit itself remained steady and continuous.
The U.S. Army adopted many of these traditions from European armies during the 18th and 19th centuries. By the time of the Civil War, formalized ceremonies involved regimental colors were already common.
Absolutely, and today that tradition remains almost unchanged. When a commander leaves a unit and another commander takes over, the ceremony provides a clear public demonstration that the authority has been transferred.
Why do we go through this ceremony at all? I know, soldiers will ask this question a lot. After all, the Army could simply publish orders and it's all good to go.
True, very true, yeah. But the military is built up on discipline, order, and clarity of authority. A ceremony ensures that everyone, and then from the newest private to visiting leaders, everyone knows exactly who is now in charge.
It also serves another purpose, honoring the outgoing commander and the commander's family.
Yeah, very much so. When at the command level of any organization, right, from company to installation, it's a huge responsibility. The ceremony gives the organization a chance to recognize the leader's accomplishments and contributions.
It also introduces the incoming commander to the formation. The soldiers see their new leader, hear their priorities, and begin to process the trust. It's a human element that I think every organization needs.
It certainly is. So it seems very mechanical in nature, right? But you bring up a good point. It is a very human element.
You get to meet the commander's family, the outgoing commander's family. You get to share stories, a couple of laughs, and, you get to remember the times that you had with your outgoing commander and learn who the new commander is.
Right, and those things make a difference, especially, further on down the road when a company element changes the command. And then further down the road, they're a battalion commander or a brigade commander. It holds a lot of sway.
I think you've remembered a couple of those in your time, Tony.
A few. But let's talk about the typical process, though.
Yeah, most ceremonies follow a very similar structure. First step is the formation. The unit forms in ranks, usually on a parade field or a large indoor space, especially here at Camp Ripley when it's cold. A color guard stands ready with organizational colors. Step two, the arrival of the official party. The review official, often a higher commander, arrives along with the outgoing and incoming commanders. Step three, honors in the national anthem. Military honors are rendered and the national anthem is played. Step four, the passing of the colors, the most difficult part of the ceremony.
It is challenging.
This is the centerpiece of the ceremony, and it, I promise you, it is practiced at least 2 hours before each ceremony because no one remembers how to do it every single time.
Right, and it's always different every single time, and then they put, then they get back to the regulations.
And you can never find the script from the previous one. It's a fun process, ladies and gentlemen.
Basically, what it is it is the outgoing commander hands the unit colors to the higher commander.
Then the higher commander passes the colors to the incoming commander.
That act symbolizes the transfer of authority and responsibility. So the withdrawing of one commander and then the acceptance of another.
Step five are speeches, usually brief remarks from not only the higher commander, but the outgoing commander and the incoming commander. And then finally, step six, a formal dismissal. The ceremony ends with a unit marching off the field or being dismissed to usually horseshoe around the CSM or outgoing commander.
And then have cake.
It has to be cake.
There's cake. Yep.
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about some of the symbolism of the colors. You know, these colors, they're very important. Like we talked about, they have a historical purpose.
They do. They keep the history of the unit intact. And the unit flag represents the heritage, the honor, the identity of the organization, whether that be a unit or the type of command structure itself or an installation. One of many Army unit colors that you'll see are campaign streamers, unit citations, and battle honors.
Yeah, and, you know, these flags, they are guarded heavily. They are the pride of the unit. I mean, they're never left alone at any time. And, you know, so when the colors are passed, it's not just a flag being handed over. It represents every soldier who has ever served in this unit before.
Absolutely.
Now, the change of command ceremony versus the change of responsibility. What's the difference? Many people get confused between the difference between change of command and the change of responsibility ceremony.
I think that we're usually adapt to hearing about a commander, a leader of the unit, and that for the military, in the military, that's the officer, right? But there also is an enlisted leader that has the same type of sway, really, and the same similar responsibilities, but it has a similar change of command or change of authority type of a ceremony.
The symbolism is slightly different too. Instead of the unit colors being passed between officers, the command sergeant major's colors or positional flag are passed between the senior enlisted leaders.
Yeah, and instead of a brigade commander presiding, for example, the ceremony is often included with the unit commander and the senior leader of the organization.
Yeah, in many units, the command team, the commander, the command sergeant major represent the officers and enlisted's partnership. And that is an important partnership. The first day I was ever in ROTC, I was told, if you don't have a good relationship with your NCO, you will never be a successful leader.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about a real world example that we have here at the Camp Ripley Training Center.
Yeah. Camp Ripley was established in the early 1930s when Minnesota's Adjutant General selected land near Little Falls for a permanent training facility for the Minnesota National Guard.
Since then, the installation has grown to a 53,000-acre center used by the National Guard, active duty, and allied forces.
Yeah, with over 90 years of operation, the camp has seen dozens, probably even hundreds of command teams come and go. And, you know, we're almost at 100 years here, Tony. That's coming up in a couple of years.
It really is. It really is. And while exact records vary by command structure and title, historians estimate that there are more than 30 command teams that have overseen Camp Ripley since the 1930s, each formally taking command through ceremonies that follow the same longstanding traditions.
Yeah, those ceremonies might have taken place right on the parade fields, hangars, or inside large training facilities, depending on the season. We're not doing this outside when it's negative 45 degrees out. Maybe back then, but not now.
Correct. Yeah, we have a change of responsibility coming up now. So our own Command Sergeant Major Ryan Hofstede is leaving his position as the senior enlisted person on Camp Ripley. And then a new Command Sergeant Major, Chad Turner, is taking his place. And that's coming up this weekend.
Yep, and we are very excited for that. The role of tradition. Give us a little bit about that, Tony.
Yeah, you know, one thing that stands out about military ceremonies is the importance of tradition.
Everything from the music to the sequence of the event is very deliberate.
Right. Even the Army song, the positioning of the formation, the organization of the soldiers and whatnot, and the placement of the colors follows established protocols that go back hundreds of years.
Yeah. These traditions connect today's soldiers with the generations who came before them.
And that's important. That's important to maintain the legacy of a unit.
Modern ceremonies often include live stream broadcasts, larger joint audiences, and civilian community leadership.
Absolutely. And at training installations like Camp Ripley, you might even see visiting troops from NATO partners or civil authorities and a lot of our different organizations that support the different community elements as well as outside units.
Yeah, I mean, we have NORX here every single year. So mm-hmm. NORX could usually sometimes be a part of that if we were changing outgoing Command Sergeant Major at Camp Ripley.
Certainly.
So then the human side of command. I know we've talked about this a bit, but beyond the protocols, beyond all the military tradition and discipline and everything like that, there is a human element to that. And these ceremonies are very personal.
They are. Especially for an outgoing commander. Like, I have never, I don't know if I want to say never, but I have rarely ever seen a circumstance where an outgoing commander did not get teary-eyed while giving his speech, while saying goodbye to the soldiers that he is
calling had, out the commanders here.
He or she, right, has had to command over the time.
No, 100%. I think even some of the change responsibilities, those sergeant majors, they get a little, maybe one tier will drop down.
Maybe one tier.
Yeah, maybe one tier.
They're pretty salty.
They're pretty old and salty.
Yeah, but I mean, it's years of building relationships with these soldiers. So it's impressive.
Yeah, for most coming into command, it's a start of a new chapter that carries an enormous responsibility. Even if before, you might not have been the best leader, once you're in command, it's either you figure it out or you sink or you swim.
Right. And the soldiers have their back. You know, the soldiers in formation, it's a reminder. It's a reminder that while leaders may change, the mission and the unit endure.
The unit will always endure. That's what we always hear. Now, to finish off this podcast for the day, the change of command ceremony might appear simple on the surface, but it represents centuries of military tradition.
Right. It symbolizes continuity. It symbolizes discipline and the transfer of leadership responsibility from one generation to the next.
From small company formations to major installations like Camp Ripley, the act of passing the colors reminds everyone present that the unit's history continues, no matter who is in command.
And that's why, even in the modern era, the military still gathers soldiers in formation to witness the simple but powerful moment when the colors change hands.
Tony, it was great having this conversation. And to our viewers out there, thank you so much for joining today's episode.
And always, thank you for listening.